This is Gulf Coast Live from WGCU. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Last year, the Southwest Florida Symphony gave a truly unique performance of music, blending the work of Brahms' Symphony No. 1 and the music of Radiohead's album OK Computer. On Saturday, May 4th, the symphony will revisit this concept of blurring the line between classical and contemporary with a performance blending Beethoven's Eroica Symphony with the music of the British rock band Coldplay. Later this hour, we'll connect with the conductor and arranger behind this unique composition. But first, the Laboratory Theater of Florida is celebrating the 10th anniversary of its performance venue in downtown Fort Myers. And fittingly, that venue will host a Festival of Tens beginning tomorrow and running through Sunday. The festival features a series of 10-minute plays written by local playwrights who've been taking playwriting classes through the Lab Theater. Joining me now in studio for a preview of the upcoming festival and a look inside the process of playwriting is the Laboratory Theater's founder and producing artistic director, Annette Trosbach. Welcome back to the show.
Howdy. Thanks for having me.
We're also joined in studio by Stephen Coe, who will perform in the festival and who is actually directing three of the plays. Southwest Florida journalist and arts advocate Tom Hall describes Coe as one of the Southwest Florida's hardest working actors. If you're a theater goer, it's nearly impossible you haven't come across him here in Southwest Florida. Some recent local productions he's been in include Veronica's Room, Whatever Happened to Baby Jane, Hush Up Sweet Charlotte, The Way We Get By, and The Last Night at Ballyhoe, just to name a few. He's also done stints performing on the Seminole Gulf Railway's Murder Mystery Dinner Train, so he's truly all over the place here. Stephen Coe, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you for having me.
We're also joined by two of the playwrights whose work is featured in the festival. Although she's new to the world of playwriting, two of Nancy Stetson's comedies will be featured during the festival. Stetson's articles on arts and culture events and performances appear prolifically in both the Naples and Fort Myers editions of the Florida Weekly. Nancy Stetson, welcome to the show.
Good to be here.
And our other playwright joining the conversation via phone is News Press investigative reporter Melody Payne. She'll also be participating in the festival as an actor, and she's also an accomplished book author. Her publications include Champions, Cheaters, and Childhood Dreams, Memories of the Soapbox Derby, and a book of tips, advice, compassion, and understanding and humor titled 99 Things to Know When You Have Breast Cancer. Melody Payne, welcome back to the show. Great to reconnect with you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
And as always, I invite listeners to join the conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So, Annette, let's start with you. Give us a little insight into the concept behind the Festival of Tens. This is the first time you've brought this to the Lab Theater, but this is something that's been pretty popular in recent years with theater companies around the country.
It has been. It really started in the 1970s. Louise Wigglesworth, who's been our playwriting instructor and playwright in residence for many years, had pushed back in August and September for this festival, really wanting to showcase the work of her students. And the festival will be a representative of the work that they've completed this past season.
Okay, that's interesting. So this is truly about showcasing local playwriting talent. There's
yes.
not necessarily a common theme that's going to run through the plays.
Not
at all. They all stand alone.
Okay. They do.
Okay. And is this something that you intentionally chose because this is the 10th anniversary of the venue, or is that just kind of more of a happy accident?
That was a happy accident. That was serendipity there. No, it was, you know, we've talked about it for a number of years. And then we, of course, we're in our 10th season. We're celebrating our 10th season and wanted to highlight that and wanted to take the opportunity to go one step further for our playwrights. In the past, we've done a staged reading or fully staged one of the plays from a playwriting class. And that's been carefully selected, but it's only been one. And we really wanted to give these playwrights an opportunity to all have their work showcased and also to work with area directors and actors, thereby helping them to develop their pieces. So that's really, I think, a special opportunity that we've been able to afford the playwrights, and I think it's going to make their work that much stronger.
I think it also is an interesting reminder of what all goes on at the Laboratory Theater after the curtain closes, the fact that you are offering these kind of playwriting classes. How long has that been going on?
About 6 years.
All right. Mm-hmm. And again, going back to the 10th anniversary of the venue, tell us about some of the growth and expansion that's been happening.
Holy cow. Well, we purchased the building 2 years ago. Since then, thanks to generous donations from some of our sponsors and donors and theater goers, we've put a new roof on the building. We've gotten rid of all of the termites in 2 out of the 3 buildings. It's a hazard in Southwest Florida.
Yeah.
The building's been painted. We've added lighting rails, lighting instruments. We've had sound upgrades. We have refurbished the education building, which used to be a preschool and now is functioning as a series of classrooms for rehearsals and for playwriting classes and other classes that are coming up. So really, the whole 1.3-acre property has seen quite a bit of growth. And you'll see that in our programming as well. Because we've got the extra space now, we're adding so much more to our educational programming. And indeed, we were just chatting the other day about adding a few nights of Shakespeare next season. So now that we have the space, we have the opportunity just to fill it up with so much creativity. So all the ideas are pouring in.
I endorse this. We can always use more Shakespeare in our
right
lives.
Right on.
I'm glad that I just offhandedly mentioned that.
Okay. Well, let's hear a little bit from our playwrights here as well. Melanie Payne, news press investigator, is on the phone. And you're going to be acting in this as well as having a work featured. And there was a recent news press article about this upcoming festival, and you compared the concept to a dim sum dinner. Tell me what you meant by that.
And some things you don't like when that tray comes by, but it's just a taste, so you have it and it's
But you're
over.
Going to like everything this weekend, right, Melanie?
Yes, but yes. Everything is wonderful on this dim sum party.
It is a perfect dinner.
Yes. So that's kind of what I meant. You know, it's just a little taste of something. And you know, I think some of the plays actually will probably be extended into more longer works. Mm-hmm. But in this case, you know, this is what you get, just a little preview of it.
So, Melanie, can you give us maybe a little bit of a synopsis or just a description of the play that you have written that's going to be performed?
Well, my play is about two women, and it kind of looks at sibling ties and who really is your next of kin. And this woman is in telling the story. She and her sister-in-law are telling the same story, but from different perspectives.
Okay. And does this draw on any kind of, in a direct way, on any kind of personal experience or relationship dynamic in your life?
Oh, well, everything that I write has drawn on either a news story or something in my life, and this is no different.
And, you know, before this, you're already quite an accomplished writer, both, you know, through your investigations of the news press and your aforementioned published books, which we've had you on the show to talk about both of those in the past. But I'm curious about what made you want to get into writing plays in the first place.
I was actually, I picked up a little flyer that was inside of the program when I went to a laboratory theater show, and I can't even remember what the play was, but I do remember picking that up, and I thought I had a story that I had read about that I thought would make a great play, and I just had no idea of how to do that. And so when I saw that flyer, I said, oh, well, maybe I can do it through this. And that's what got me started with it. And I'll tell you, for journalists, I really do think that playwriting is something that they should explore, because we are used to knowing how people talk. And the dialogue from playwrights who are journalists tends to sound very authentic. And I think that's one of the reasons Nancy caught on to it so quickly.
Nancy?
Melanie kind of talked me into this. She's been doing it a lot longer than I have. And she kept saying, come to the class. Mm-hmm. And I was saying, no. And I know how great her work is. But I thought, okay, let me give it a try. I write about theater. I review theater. And I thought this might be a good way to look at plays from the inside out. And Yeah, I feel like I was kind of thrown in the deep end with this. didn't quite know what I was doing. And then we were writing these 10-minute plays. And the first time that Louise Wigglesworth, the instructor, said to me, she gave me an assignment. She was like, well, you know, go home and write a scene with two people, and one person wants something and the other person wants something else. And I looked at her and I said, you mean make it up? And Melanie was there, and she laughed and laughed and laughed. And then when she stopped laughing, she said, I said the same exact thing when she was given that assignment. And as journalists, we're just told, you know, don't make it up. You don't make anything up.
Right. That's like journalism 101. I'm in that same boat.
Yeah.
I've tried to do that before, to sit down to write fiction, and I got nothing. I feel like I
that was a major shift.
Interesting. Yeah.
But Melanie is right. When you're a journalist, you have your ear out for good quotes and for how people speak. And when you're interviewing somebody, you know, they'll be talking and then all of a sudden they say something and you go, oh, that's a great line.
Yeah.
That's
a
great line. I know I'm going to use that line.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Just to piggyback on this, we're speaking about all of Melanie's accomplishments. She's acting in three of the plays as well, including in her own Eternal Flame and in one of yours, Nancy. And after rehearsal last night, she stayed after, and we must have been at the theater until about 11:15, just me and Melanie and our technical director rehearsing and going over these scenes. She's taking it so seriously. It's just, I think, an incredible opportunity for the actors that have signed on as well in this short rehearsal period to work with these playwrights and put this weekend together.
I do want to say that it's tricky to write something that's so short, that's 10 minutes, because you have to have – it just can't be a scene from a larger play. It has to be complete. It is complete within itself. So you have a beginning, a middle, an end. Mm-hmm. You have a conflict. And I think that was hanging me up for a while about what a conflict could be in such a short amount of time and how you would resolve it. You know?
Right. Well, and how you could get an audience to engage with and identify with your character when you have so little time to introduce them to your character.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, tell me about the two plays that you've written that are going to be featured in this festival.
They're
the first play I wrote was called 10-Minute Dilemma, or Forgive Me, I Put You in a Play. And I was really hung up on this whole idea of conflict. And I thought, what conflict? What can I write about? What can I write about? And then I realized I had this conflict in how to write a 10-minute play. So I wrote about that. And I kind of put myself in there as a character and Melanie. So that's why it says, Forgive Me, I Put You in a Play. So it's these two fledgling playwrights trying to figure out what to write about.
But sharing the stage is your
You kind of see inside my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see two actors and they're acting out everything as I'm going through idea, 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 and tossing each one out.
So they're kind of like – they represent your internal monologue somewhat.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
With hilarious
results. But it's definitely a comedy.
More like the hamsters running on the wheel.
Okay.
Well, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And the second one is called Junk in the Trunk, and it's a husband and wife that are trapped in a car trunk. And so the whole conflict is, you know, how did they get in there? They're stuck in there. How are they going to get out? You know, why are they in there? And I was kind of inspired by a movie clip that I saw at the Sanibel Writers Conference. The instructor showed us – I don't know what the movie was, but it was J-Lo and George Clooney stuck in a trunk together. I think she was a U.S. Marshal and he was a prisoner.
I can't think of the film, but I know what
you're
talking
about. But they
were
stuck in the trunk together, and the instructor kept saying, isn't that romantic? Isn't that romantic? And I'm thinking – no, stuck in a trunk with a prisoner. It's not romantic. And then I thought, well, is there a way in which it could be possibly romantic? So that's That's the second one, Junk in the Trunk.
All right. Looking forward to it. Well, we're previewing the Laboratory Theater of Florida's upcoming Festival of Tents, which kicks off tomorrow, with our panel of actors, playwrights, and directors involved. Listeners can join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. Or you can leave us a message on Facebook. We're at WGCU Public Media. And I want to turn to Stephen here, because you're, you know, as I mentioned before, some of your credits, a very prolific actor in the area.
Thank you.
And when it comes here to this, you're directing the performances.
Mm-hmm.
So does this kind of follow this theme that we're already seem to be creating of folks sort of stretching their skills and kind of trying out something new?
Absolutely. It absolutely is. And that's one of, I think, the most fascinating parts about this. It's one of the most fun parts is also the most challenging, is just this. It's like we were saying, it's a really short rehearsal period. This has been about 2-3 weeks, I think. And it's coming together so fast, and you really have to stretch yourself. The actors have to be open. The playwrights have to be open, and the directors have to be open. You know, you have to know letting go is a huge theme of it, for everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone, absolutely. Whether you have to let go of a bit, whether you have to rewrite something, it's constantly shifting and changing, and it's like you said, it's just stretching and finding new horizons.
So you're directing three, and then you're acting in a fourth?
Yes, I'm acting in at the top of the show, the 10-minute dilemma, mm-hmm. that Nancy wrote, and then I'm directing Junk in the Trunk that she has just mentioned. I love it. It is romantic a little bit, but I see it as this great black comedy. It kind of gave me a Tarantino vibe at first.
Okay.
But yeah, and then I'm directing two of the others.
All right. And I understand you kind of have like a mentor sort of protege dynamic going on with Annette. Are you looking to get more into directing in the future?
Oh, absolutely. And she's readily handing me opportunities too, and I'm very thankful for it. It's one of those things. You always, every actor that gets really serious about it, I think, at least has the thought, and it's absolutely something I'd love to do more.
Can you either of you, can you like contrast the skill set that you need to be able to bring to the table being an actor versus being a director?
Yeah, two very different heads. To be open and to be a vessel to the material, the words of the playwright as an actor, and to walk in the shoes and in the heart of another human being requires such an emotional intelligence and such a discipline that is so different from the perspective of a director who is sitting back and not only seeing the actor do that, but the interplay between all of the actors, their spatial relationship on the set, in the space, the lighting and the sound, the costumes and everything coming together. It's a real different skill set. But, I had offered Stephen to AD for our show back in the fall, because I see in him he would be an actor's director. He's got a very good eye for where actors could go, steps that they could take, and ways that they could break down some of their own personal barriers that we all carry around with us in order to develop a better performance. I see him do that with himself, and I see that he recognizes opportunities in other actors. I just throw a couple opportunities out there. If he's interested in taking it, great, and I'm around to help. Or I've set him up with other directors and mentors as well, and if that's a direction that he'd like to go, I'm very happy to be supportive.
Thank you.
I've always heard from actors that they appreciate a director who also has acting experience.
Sure.
Because they know that they've been in their shoes and they just bring something more to the table in terms of directing.
I just wanted to add that the Lab Theater, that's one of the great things about it, is that Annette gives people an opportunity to explore a lot of different things, and even things as small as how to serve behind the counter as a volunteer when people are coming in, and it's really a community theater in that way. It just brings in all sorts of people, and you really get a chance to try different things.
And look at the great opportunity she's given us, Melanie.
Exactly.
To have our plays being staged like this.
Yeah.
Playwrights would love this. Yeah.
Yeah. I can certainly attest to that, you know, family-like feel the Laboratory Theater has. And you can absolutely go to a show and see somebody in the lead role, and then you come back for the next performance, and they're the person who serves you your wine when you get in. Yeah. So, yeah, everybody does seem to work together there quite well.
You know, piggybacking on the this discussion of development of these plays as well, something that we'll be offering – and Melanie is also the coordinator. She's also coordinating these events, these evenings, these three performances. We'll be offering our patrons index cards and those little golf-sized pencils so that we can get notes and immediate feedback from the audience as well, which we're hoping will be useful for the playwrights and for the directors. And then opening night, we have a reception in honor of our sponsors, Gail Rothenberg and John Levy. We'll be handing out those information cards that night and Saturday night. And then Sunday after the performance, we'll have a talk back as well. So we'd like to invite the public to stay after and have a discussion. What worked? What didn't work? What did we really enjoy? What would we like to see more of? And there are a few, I agree, that a few of the plays really could be developed into full length pieces. There's so much meat in some of these short, lovely 10-minute morsel-sized plays that really could be developed into something full length that would be exciting. But we'll have that discussion on Sunday after the performance as well. If there are people out there that would like to see something that's in development, close to completion, share their thoughts and get in on the ground floor, as it were, Sunday would be the day.
All right. And Nancy and Melanie, I was hoping you could give us some insight into the experience of actually participating in the Lab Theater's playwriting workshops. What is the format like? Do you kind of work collaboratively, or does everybody sort of work on their own and then kind of critique each other's work? Or
more the latter.
More independent, and then we bring it to the class. The instructor works with us. This year, Louise Wigglesworth has moved out of the area back up north, and so John Reppa is doing it this time now, and he brings a different perspective to it, and so that's been kind of cool too to get a person's take on playwriting. And but we bring it in, we work on it, we talk to each other about it. It's a very supportive group.
Yes.
I will say that. We are encouraging each other all the time.
And I would say it's kind of remarkable to see a play develop over the weeks, too. That was the major thing, I think, for me. And people would make suggestions, and then the next week or the week after, the person would bring the play back. And they may not have even made a lot of major changes in it, but even, adding a line somewhere or taking a line out or moving a scene around, it makes a huge amount of difference. Mm-hmm. And you just see these plays grow and develop, and that was the key point, I think, for me that I got from it.
Nancy, does that process continue into the actual, I guess, rehearsal for these plays? Because, I mean, that's one thing that I think is kind of nice. You're not doing like a well-known established play where you can just be like, oh, I don't like that line. Like, no, you would have to do it the way it was. But since you guys are the creators of it, you can kind of change it at will.
We can if something's not working, and we did receive feedback from the actors and the directors, which was great, and you could just hone it.
They are morphing as we speak.
Mm-hmm, it's true. even last night, right, Melanie? It's like I'm dropping that line. I keep forgetting it anyway, so let's just cut it out.
But it's just remarkable to see your words come to life and be acted out on a stage. And what a great opportunity Annette and Lab Theater have given us here.
And I know, Steve, you're using your acting chops and your directing chops, but has this made you maybe get a taste for delving into playwriting yourself at some point?
The thought has occurred to me, yes.
Okay. And I was a little surprised to read that initially you weren't really looking to pursue acting. How did that come about?
A very lucky middle school class, because I just wanted to be with my friends. We do a lot of outreach at the lab. We do a lot of development, and it's a beautiful thing because that's really what got me is in middle school we were just, you know, it was just they were adding a new drama program over at Lehigh Middle and it was just they threw everyone in. I wanted more classes with my friends. I grabbed that and then I was like, oh, hey, people like me doing this. That's cool.
Yeah.
And I just – it just kind of snowballed from there, and now I'm here.
Right. Well, what's on the horizon for you? Where can folks maybe see you in a future theater production, maybe beyond this festival of tents?
Well, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. We have our auditions coming up soon, So that will determine a lot of that.
Okay.
But other than that, somewhere, hopefully.
All right.
Yeah, we've got auditions right around the corner at mid-May and on June 8th. So, yeah, and we have a season of, except for The Crucible, everything is a regional or a national premiere next season. So
really?
I think that's going to be really exciting for our current actors and hopefully will attract some new faces as well.
All right. Well, I mean, we can do this again once, you know, we get closer to the new season. But is there anything you would want to say to maybe preview what we have to look forward to?
I don't want to give – I was thinking hard about that on the way over here and especially actually about Junk in the Trunk too, about like the lengths to which this writer will go. But I don't want to give anything away.
I understand.
They're so 10 minutes is so short and so precious. I feel like anything more that we would say about each of these little nuggets of gold would be giving the story away. But they're delightful. Each one lives on its own. They're all very different.
Comedies, dramas.
There are some comedies, some dramas. I think three of them are kind of about life, birth, death, rebirth, afterlife, that circle. I'm not sure why that happened, but that's an interesting theme that seems to run throughout, but purely accidental. So it's just Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just three little opportunities to join us and be part of this inaugural event.
If somebody's been listening to our conversation today and they're thinking like, man, I would really love to get involved with that playwriting class, is that something that just happens on an ongoing basis or are there specific – I guess periods of time that a course occurs?
I think we're in week three of the current series of playwriting classes. But if you go onto the Lab Theater website, which is laboratorytheaterflorida.com, and go to the education page, you can find all of the classes that we have coming up, including a paranormal investigation class, improv class that's coming up, a physical theater class that's coming up, a number of other things. It's all on there with a little drop-down menu, super easy to find. And once this session of playwriting is over, I'm sure the instructor will want to have a little break, and then we'll be right back at it.
All right. Well, ahead of the Laboratory Theater of Florida's Festival of Tens running this Friday through Sunday, we've been speaking with the Lab Theater's founder and producing artistic director, Annette Trosbach, actor and director, Stephen Coe, playwright, actor, author, and news press investigative reporter, Melanie Plain, and playwright and Florida Weekly reporter and budding cellist, Nancy Stetson. Thank you so much for – oh, yeah, we'll talk about that later.
Oh, I want to know more.
Thanks, all of you, so much for being with us today and sharing this opportunity with us. And again, if you want more information about the festival or to pick up your own tickets or anything else about the Lab Theater, that website is laboratorytheaterflorida.com.
Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, the line between classical and contemporary is getting pretty blurry with the Southwest Florida Symphony's upcoming performance of a unique symphonic mashup of Beethoven's Eroica Symphony and the music of the British rock band Coldplay. We'll be taking a closer look with the conductor, composer, and arranger behind this event. That's just ahead. I'm John Davis, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.